It's Todd Zwillick. Welcome back. Facts, we're just basking in them here today on The Takeaway. Here's another one. Donald Trump scored an early political win this week. The president-elect struck a deal with Carrier, the heating and air conditioning company, to keep 1,000 jobs in Indiana that it was planning to move to Mexico. So here are the facts of the deal, as far as we know them anyway. It'll cost the government about $7 million worth of tax breaks over a decade, and Carrier is still moving another 1,000 jobs to Mexico. If that sounds a little bit like a taxpayer-subsidized solar industry, like the infamous Solyndra, or a little bit like President Obama's auto bailout, well, it should. They're similar. It's not quite the promise Donald Trump made to punish companies that ship jobs out of the U.S. On the campaign trail, Donald Trump said he would do the same for the coal industry, which lost 12% of its jobs last year. His message resonated in coal-heavy states like West Virginia and Kentucky, where 6,900 coal jobs across the state is the lowest total in 118 years. Here's retired Kentucky coal miner Ruby Couch, who we're going to talk to in just a few minutes.
Hillary Clinton gets up there, especially this year, and says she's going to raise taxes on the middle class, and she's going to put coal miners out of work. I just can't see any coal miner biting the hand that feeds them.
It's been a long, long decline for coal. The industry's lost about 150,000 jobs since 1980. It's also been a drastic slide for Democrats in coal country. Cheryl Gay Stolberg is Mid-Atlantic Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times, and she traveled to the town of Williamson, West Virginia, to figure out how the Democratic Party lost coal country so dramatically.
You know, West Virginia is a really good place to see how the Democratic Party really has lost the white working class. That's exactly what happened in West Virginia. It went overwhelmingly for Donald Trump, in large part, I think, on the strength of his promises to put miners back to work, but also his pledge to appoint conservative Supreme Court justices.
You know, you wrote in your piece a passage that really caught my eye. It said, "It's difficult for outsiders to fathom how deeply faith and work are intertwined here, or the economic and psychological depression that sets in when an entire region loses the only livelihood many of its people have ever known."
You know, Todd, I wrote that passage from the heart. I really think that it sums up my experience. So many people, so many critics of Trump, Hillary supporters will say, those people are fools. They don't know anything. They're ignorant hillbillies. Why don't they just leave and go find work somewhere else? These are people who are very deeply tied to the land. Many people have lived in these mountains for generations. Their families have been there for generations, not only in West Virginia, but in eastern Kentucky. Mining is the only work many of them have ever known and their families have ever known, and it's provided good jobs, and it's gone away for a variety of reasons. Economic forces, the decline in the price of natural gas, coupled with President Obama's environmental rules. But suffice to say, those jobs are gone, and people are in deep, deep pain. So many of the people I met are working so hard and are struggling, and faith does play a role in their lives.
So the pain is real, but warnings are already out there, as you said, that many of the jobs that Trump promises in coal and other industries aren't coming back. How do people react when they know that news? Is there a reality that's 4 years deferred here, or do they have a real hope that coal could come back?
I don't think that people have a real hope that coal will come back the way it once was. And I want to actually share with you, Todd, the story of one woman I met in coal country. She's a waitress at the Huddle House. Her minor husband lost his job in coal last year. Ever since, she's been working three jobs. Not only is she a waitress, but she is also part-time teaching and cooking at the school. And in addition to that, when her husband lost his job, she took an opportunity for miners' wives to retrain as a phlebotomist. So she did that retraining, but by the time she became a phlebotomist, there were so many miners' wives who had already done the training that the phlebotomy market was flooded. Her father was a miner, too. He's also lost his job, and the only reason they still have their house was because they saw this mining downturn coming, and they saved. So many people like this have seen their families move away in search of better jobs. They've seen their children move away. And these people wonder, why didn't the Democrats who ran things see the coal bust coming? Why didn't they work harder to diversify? So there's both a realistic sense about jobs and a deep anger at politicians that I think actually predates President Obama.
And then the question, Cheryl Gay Stolberg, for any Democrat listening to our conversation is, how do they go back to a place like West Virginia and speak to these people whose jobs and livelihoods have left them and reconnect their politics with their real lives?
You know, I think that is going to be very difficult, as Hillary Clinton found out. When you really drill down on what people believe, their policies, on energy at least, are not that different from what Hillary Clinton was articulating. Many of these miners and, you know, mine industry folks also feel that the Democratic Party is completely antithetical to their beliefs. You really need to think about that component of faith. Here you have people who are church-going people, who are Christians, who are embracing Donald Trump, who is a trash-talking, thrice-married man who's a Manhattan billionaire. I mean,
and
he couldn't be any farther from the culture of these people than, you know, than a man on the moon.
And who wasn't Christian himself, really, to any appreciable degree until extremely recently.
Exactly. And so I found, when I asked that question, how can you embrace this man? And over again, people gave me a variation of this. They would say, God has used unjust people to do his will. Or as one person said to me, I figure there's only one perfect leader.
So it's the economic question and the interaction of work with that faith that's changed, because Republicans figured out 40 years ago how to mix Christian faith with voting, and that didn't flip West Virginia to them. That was a Democratic state, but it is no longer.
Yes, and don't forget, the Democrats in West Virginia were never Democrats like the Democrats in San Francisco or Massachusetts. They were the old conservative blue dog Democrats that you and I used to run into on Capitol Hill, who pretty much don't exist anymore.
Cheryl Stolberg, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Cheryl Gay Stolberg is Mid-Atlantic Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. And now to someone who's seen the loss of mining jobs firsthand. Ruby Couch spent his entire 35-year career underground as a coal miner in eastern Kentucky near Whitesburg. Ruby, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Well, describe your career as a coal miner. You're retired now.
Yes, I've been retired for about 3 years, but November the 8th, 1976 was my first day underground, and I actually worked for Amanda Coal Company. But a lot of things, Todd, that people don't understand about coal miners is they are highly trained. In 1984, after about, I don't know, 5-6 years in the coal mine, I actually achieved my mine foreman certificate, and that helped me a lot, because for 20 years I was a mine foreman, and so I've had a long career, but I enjoy teaching people what I have learned through the years.
So you managed to get to the end of your career, you know, and have a normal retirement, but many, many people haven't done that. Can you talk about how many of those jobs are left and sort of what your town and what your area is like, maybe compared to 30 years ago?
Well, I will tell you, compared to probably 10 years ago, our coal mining, I worked for Golden Oak Mining Company, which was a big company, and they were actually putting out $4 million a month. And when you jerk $4 million a month out of an economy, I mean, that takes money away from Walmart and school and just grocery stores and just different things.
So, Ruby Couch, did you vote for Donald Trump?
I did.
And what's your hope about what he can do for coal jobs? Like, I mean, the slide in mining employment accelerated under President Obama, but this goes back, as you know. I mean, in 1980, there were 228,000 miners employed in this country. Today, there's 80,000. I mean, this demand is way, way down. This industry has been changing for decades and decades.
Well, I'll tell you what, right now, I've actually had a couple men approach me the last little bit wanting to get their mine retraining, because they are very optimistic about the fact that Mr. Trump is going to try to remove some of the regulations that the EPA and Obama has imposed upon the coal industry. That they've actually talked about going back into the mines, and we've heard rumors around that coal mines are going to be starting back.
Of course, Ruby Couch, it's impossible to have this conversation without talking about climate change. Climate change is a real thing. Sea levels are already rising. What do you think we should do about it?
Well, one thing that he was proposing to do about climate change, I've been listening a little bit about climate change. I don't know that much about it, but I don't know. They talk about the oceans are rising and the things are getting warmer. But as far as climate change, I think Donald Trump has some good policies.
But you think the federal government should be doing something to curb carbon? You think climate change is a real thing? I mean, there's got to be a balance here, right, between jobs like yours, which are critical, and stemming the rising global temperatures, which is also critical.
Right. You're exactly right. But I'm going to tell you, I think we have the technology in place that we could put scrubbers on those coal-fired plants and we could reduce the carbon emission the way it's supposed to be. Plus, at the same time, we could mine our coal a lot cheaper. I don't understand buying coal from China or Russia and from different places when we have the resources right here at home.
All right. So, Ruby Couch, we're going to let you go. But, you know, Donald Trump is now a politician. I know that you voted for him and that you support him, but you're also waiting for the facts, and you're probably a little bit skeptical. What's the timeline? You know, when do you need to see more jobs in your county or the eastern part of your state to know if he's the real deal?
I'll tell you what, if he will do anything, I want to say within the first 10 months, then we'll know that he is the real deal and things are really going to start picking up again.
And if he's not?
Then we'll know that too, because he's got 4 years and then we'll have to think about someone else.
Ruby Couch, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Todd.
Ruby Couch, former coal miner in eastern Kentucky, retired after 35 years.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Lumosity, brain training developed by scientists and game designers who turn cognitive research tasks into games to challenge memory, attention, and problem solving. Learn more at lumosity.com.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.